a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us again. The Word for Your Life. Yeah, that's what Word for Life ministry is all about. And we are taking the Word of God and applying it to our lives today. Dr. Rich Schmidt is with me in the studio, and he's been sharing some truths concerning Old Testament prophecies and New Testament realities. Dr. Rich, how exciting this has been.
Well, good morning, and it is an exciting topic, and I mean, I just get pumped up first thing in the morning to be able to talk about this great subject.
Amen.
It's exciting. You know, I trust everybody when we get up in the morning, first thing we do is kind of get our spiritual eye set on.
Sure.
Spend a little time with the Lord, get ourselves in focus. I think it really helps with the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, walk with God, be a blessing to other people.
That's the truth.
It's really helpful. Well, we've been talking about a very important topic. We've been talking about something that President Trump made in his campaign speeches and before he was elected. And he was talking about moving the embassy, if you will, to the capital, which is Jerusalem. So the embassy has been in Tel Aviv for many, many years. My good friend Jimmy DeYoung has stated, you know, what kind of sense would it make if we told the Jewish people to move there? Embassy in the United States to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
How true that is.
And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. So,
right.
Jimmy brings out a wonderful point there, and of course, I totally agree with him.
Right.
And the president agrees with him. We brought out the fact that the current government, the current administration in America, has been very pro-Jewish people, very pro-Israel, and I think with good reason. So the question we've been examining is, well, is this just simply nothing more than a political issue, or is there really something biblically involved here? Is there a mandate that God's given with anything revolving around Jerusalem? And Pastor, me and you have both contended that this is a whole lot more than politics.
No, that's the truth.
But this is a strong biblical mandate. So it's not just a political statement. It's much, much more than that. You know, I'm very, very pro-Jewish people. I'm very, very pro-Israel. There's a reason for that. It's not a political reason at all. I am pro-Jewish. I am pro-Israel because God is.
Right. We want to be on his team.
Yeah, and there's so many theologians today, quite frankly, good Christian theologians, but in my opinion, so very, very wrong on saying that Israel has been totally replaced by the church, never to become an entity again, and I believe they're dead wrong on that. With all due respect, and I don't like to fight people, but when there is theological deference, the truth is the truth, and
everything else isn't.
And that's true. And they're like, well, are you being exclusive, and are you being dogmatic? And I want to say this. Listen, the Bible says to speak the truth in love.
Right.
So there's going to be people that strongly disagree with us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more than aware in that. We're going to talk a little bit about it this morning. But I want to lovingly and kindly go through some of the very important things as to why not only is America right now being pro-Jewish, pro-Israel, but I believe God is going to, according to the prophetic scriptures, and again, you've got to interpret scripture if you want to get it right from its historical, contextual, grammatical, and literal meaning. To spiritualize the text, to allegorize the text, to say that Israel is now the church or the church is Israel, it just doesn't work.
Right.
And it's taking the Word of God and twisting it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know there's those that are listening that may disagree with that, but let's look at some of the facts. Right now, what's out there is what's called very strongly covenant theology, replacements theology, supersessionist theology. We talked a little bit about that in the past. These are all come down to this one core concept, that Israel no longer exists for the Jewish people, that every promise that was given to Israel has been revoked, and now all those promises are for the church-age people, which is us.
Right.
It's an exclusive church age never ends kind of thing until Jesus Christ returns, his second advent, when he sets up his kingdom. We all become part of that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the church age is not being set up for God's kingdom. We'll be taken out of here at what's called the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18, 1 Corinthians 15, 50-54. The church will be taken out. There'll be a horrific seven-year tribulation period on earth preparing for Christ's second coming. The church is already in heaven. God will bring his Jewish people into his land. We'll look at that this morning.
Okay.
And we're going to look at three specific covenants that outline that God promised the Jewish people that they would inherit that property. Mm-hmm. I will say this. The church age people will be down on earth during the millennium, but not in physical bodies, but in glorified bodies.
Right.
The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 21, that when Jesus does come back to this earth to live and to reign on this earth for 1,000 years, again, Revelation 19, 11 to 21, black and white from God, he makes it very clear the saints will come with him. In other words, Pastor, me and you are going to be up in heaven. God says Jesus is going to mount a white horse. Mm-hmm. We're all going to be on white horses. Mm-hmm. Not sure how many horses are up there, but I guess quite a few. And we're all going to get on our horses, and we're going to come back with Christ at his second coming. And the Bible makes it very clear. We will rule and reign with Christ on this earth. So the church age saints will be here, but the physical, bodily people that are still in their normal bodies, it's going to be a Jewish group as a whole that will be there. You say, well, can you prove this from Scripture? You betcha. We've got a few minutes left here. Let's look at three key covenants that God gave to the Jewish people. Genesis chapter 12, the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 12, verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, the Jewish people, if you will, I will give this land. What land? The land of Israel. Jerusalem being the central focus. We also know that God made this unconditional promise to Abraham. It's unconditional according to the Abrahamic covenant. We also know that God promised to push this covenant down to Abram's descendants, which were the Jewish people.
He said, to your descendants, I will give this land.
Exactly.
How much clearer could it be?
I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, yeah.
And he backs that up again. Now, Abraham's son was Isaac. And in Genesis 26, verse 3, it says that to the offspring this promise was given. So the Abrahamic covenant was passed on to his son Isaac. Then further, Isaac's son being Jacob, in Genesis 28, 13, and in Genesis 35, 12, God once again establishes that Jacob was getting that same promise. So we will go from Abraham to Isaac, his son, to his son, Jacob. And, oh, just out of curiosity, what was Jacob's name changed to?
Oh, Israel.
Israel.
Right.
God has just put all these pieces together, and this is an unconditional, everlasting covenant where the descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jewish people, this land is mandated for them.
Unconditional means they can go into sin, they can really mess up, but it is going to be their land, period.
Absolutely.
God said it.
There you go. Now, there's the second covenant, which we like to call the land covenant. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, here is the next set of promises that God gives to the Jewish people. Then the Lord your God, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the Jewish people. That the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. Well, who went into captivity? Well, the Jewish people.
The Jewish people.
And have compassion on you, gather you again from all the nations. So who's he talking to? The dispersed
Jewish people.
There you go.
Yep.
Where the Lord your God has scattered you. Well, wait a minute. Why did God scatter the Jewish people?
Their sin.
Yeah. They were disobedient, unfortunately. Again, I'm pro-Jewish, I'm pro-Israel, but my good friends, and I have a lot of good Jewish friends, we got to be honest. In the past, there's been some missteps. in all lovingly said, verse 4, Deuteronomy 30. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you. Again, talking about the dispersed Jewish people.
Right.
And from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed.
Right.
So the point here is, in the Abrahamic covenant, God promised Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, Everybody knows the patriarchs, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of the Jewish people. God made the promise to them, mm-hmm. never revoked it. It was mm-hmm. unconditional, as you pointed out. The second major covenant, the land covenant. God again says, I'm going to bring you all back one day, which mm-hmm. hasn't happened yet. You say, well, wait a minute, it hasn't happened yet. Of course it's happened. Israel was made a state in 1948, 1967. They gained control of the Jewish Temple Mount, and they have and God's bringing all the Jewish people back to Israel. It's a done deal. Well, not quite. In fact, we're not even close yet.
Yeah.
There's approximately 17 million Jewish people in the world today. Mm. Approximately 7.5 of that 17 million people have returned to Israel.
Okay.
And by the way, that's a lot of Jewish people that have migrated back.
Mm-hmm.
When Jewish people move back to Israel, specifically to the Jerusalem area, they call it making aliyah. In other words, they're going up to Jerusalem. They're coming back to their homeland.
What does the word aliyah mean?
It just means going up.
Okay.
Going
okay.
up, returning, and that's exactly what's taking place.
Yeah.
So we got this 7.5 million Jewish people. I think God's tugging on hearts, and we're starting to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not fulfilled prophecy.
Sure.
This is the, if we will, and again, I'll go back to my good friend Jimmy DeYoung, he calls it stage setting.
Mm-hmm.
It's setting the stage to fulfill what God mandated when all the Jewish people will come back. So there's still 10 million Jewish people scattered mm-hmm. throughout the world. God mandates that eventually they will be coming back to their land. Abrahamic covenant stated it, land covenant stated
mm-hmm.
I would like to ask my good friends in the covenant theology group, why do you think the Jewish people are going back to the land all of a sudden? Why did God call back, it, as it appears, 7.5 million people back to the land? And it's mm-hmm. taking place. Third major covenant is called the Davidic covenant. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8. God's saying, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. Well, what's the place? Israel is the land, Jerusalem is the central part of that land, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. Again, third major covenant. God gave it to Abraham, then he gave it to the Jewish people as a whole. Now he's saying to King David way back in 1000 BC, I am promising that this land is going to be yours forever. It's a forever, it's an unconditional covenant. The people will get their land. When's it going to happen? Well, again, when President Trump said we want to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, it's starting to set the stage.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing forth the concept, and this is not a fulfillment of prophecy, but again, the stage is being set.
Right.
God is showing the importance of Israel, and we're seeing godly people making that. So, is Jerusalem the capital because of politics or a biblical mandate? You decide.
Yes. Because the Lord is the ruler of all. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And so, consequently, he can direct leaders of countries to do his will. That's called sovereignty. God is in control, and whatever happens to you today is a part of God's plan as you follow him step by step. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.